What this world needs is a few more rednecks. The people ain't afraid to take a stand. What this world needs is a little more respect for the Lord and the law and the working man. We could use a little peace and satisfaction. Some good people up front take the lead.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
They want to take my guns away.
And I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man... he wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights. And considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. There are a few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us. The protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia? Cane pulling crossmen in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Homemade ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane ram on Saturday right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time I answered to what I'd done. Who's the day I forgot about the way it used to be? They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. Before I sell my rights away from me, it's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be. From whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to, please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
You can find it right here on The Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that ball.
You need The Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, The Shooting Bench.
Hey, it's that time again. Welcome to The Shooting Bench. It is the 23rd of January. It's a Wednesday, and I promised you guys, well, I told you what I was planning on doing. Thanks to N.M. Glock helped refresh my memory. I didn't write it down, but now it's all coming back to me now. So we talked about some ballistics issues on Monday. Covered quite a bit. Hey, Kojo's with us tonight. Welcome, brother. Long time no see. WMD Doc's in there. Outstanding. Good to see you guys. Been quite a while. Tebow's with us. Who all else is with us? Let's see. Doc Goatmo. Wow. Long time no see again. And Kojo and Minnie and Mountain Shooter and Nan. Welcome, Nan. NM Glock, WMD Doc, Yakima Glock, Tebow. Couple of anonymous coming in, still some coming, so, all right. Let's see, Kojo says, how are we streaming? I used to use Shoutcast, but it's not working these days. Well, we're still using Shoutcast. It could be that you're not, don't have the right links or whatever it is that you need, but you can get it right here. Just go up to the top of the page and click on one of those players. Or you can listen on your phone through, TuneIn? Works really well. Zia works pretty good. XIAA. You can listen on your phone with that. Kojo, brother, I just saw your post there. You've moved from California to Arizona. Buddy, you got to let me know where you're at. We got to get together. Yeah, you ought to be proud. You didn't move, son. You escaped. Good job. Okay, well, that gives me reason to come down there. We'll have to make a special trip here one of these days and come down and have some lunch with you or something. Yeah, Kojo, for you guys that don't know, Kojo's a listener from way back, and he's taken a class with us. He did some stuff when I went out to California. I think you were in that Glock Armorers class, I believe, and we've done some Glock work for him. Well, good deal. There you go, Mountain Shooter. There's your little more incentive to get out of there. You got a fellow Californian that has pulled up stakes and moved to where freedom is. So that's outstanding. All right, let's go on. We talked Monday quite a bit about. It's kind of hard to grasp some of this if you're not already. You don't have some idea of what it's like because. Without some visual aids, it's a little bit difficult. But we'll do the best we can. Hopefully, I can drag up the means to explain this here in some manner that will help you out a little bit. We talked quite a bit about velocity and bullet drop and stuff like that on Monday, and so there's some other issues. And these issues, to me, are, as I've told all of you more than once. It's no longer a matter of recreation just because I like shooting, just because, I think you like shooting. It's a matter now of defense of liberty more than defense of home, defense of the homeland, maybe. But when you look at the possibility of things to come, there's... look at different types of terrorist attacks, and we're pretty fortunate. We've had some terrorist attacks here in this country, but not like other places have, not like Israel and not like some places in Europe and there's in the Middle East, there's been some horrendous attacks down there using different means of delivering some of this. And some of those were vehicles. Some of them were aircraft. And the average hunter, shooter out there has no clue other than what they see on TV or lucky guess as to how to address some of these issues. So we're going to talk about some of those things tonight and in no particular order. Let's start with just a lead on a moving object. We're going to say a truck or a vehicle of some kind. It's not a perfect science. Actually, it is a perfect science. What's not perfect about it is I don't know what kind of rifle Kojo is using. And I know Doc's using a 7mm Mauser, probably. But, everybody's got different barrel lengths, different calibers, different speeds, different loads, different bullet weights. So this will give you an idea. And hopefully this will plant a seed for you, and you'll do a little bit of research on your own and find out what your gun will do. This will get you close. And I think it'll be a little bit surprising to some of you. But we'll start with, like I said, with a lead on a moving object, a vehicle or something. I use two different speeds here, one at 40 miles an hour and one at 70 miles an hour. This is the best thing I could come up with for either highway or dirt road. You can adjust it accordingly. This is also would be like the wind blowing, what we'd call full value. That means that the vehicle is moving at right angles to the barrel, right angles to the shooter. At 45 degree angle, if you needed to use that, it would be 50% of these values. So if I tell you something is 6 feet at full value, at 45 degrees, a half value, it would be 3 feet. At quarter value, which would be 22.5 degrees, it would be 25% of that. So keep those things in mind. And I did tell you Monday, we're going to go through a lot of stuff here. It's been about 4, 5, 6 years since we've gone through this stuff. If you're interested in this, and if you think it will ever be helpful to you, you can do two things, and you should do both. One, take notes. The other is download the podcast and have it where you can review it from time to time. But I would seriously take notes on this so that you can refer to this, regularly. Let's see, what did Kojo say? Just picked up 20-round mag. P-Mag for Glock is a backup mag. Yeah, great. That's a good, I've got several of those. Yeah, isn't freedom awesome, Kojo? I mean, we're losing a lot of things in Arizona. It's slowly deteriorating. But compared to California, yeah, this is where freedom is. Freedom's a good thing. Liberty is a great thing. And we're proud to have a sizable portion of that here in Arizona. Even though we are losing ground a little bit, we're holding it for the time being. All right, let's look at these now. 40 miles an hour. And for your reference, if you're taking notes, as you should be, 40 miles an hour is just under 59 feet per second. So that kind of helped you do some figuring for you there. So why would you want to shoot a moving truck? Well, a lot of reasons. We may already have information that there are anything from enemy troops to explosives to whatever in that truck, and we cannot allow it to get to where it's going. It can be anything from shooting a tire out, shooting a fuel tank, or shooting the driver, if it comes down to it. So, obviously shooting the driver would be the most precise, where you'd really need to have these calculations down pretty close. You need to know if this is an ambush type thing. You would need to know your exact distance from the road and from the target, and a fairly decent idea of how fast this vehicle is going. But like I said, this is not exactly, because there's too many variables here that I don't know anything about, with each of you different weapons. So, but like I said, this will give you a good idea of what you can and can't do. What you cannot do is just pick your rifle up, point at the front tire on a truck going 40 miles an hour that's 200 yards away and pull the trigger and expect to hit that tire. At best, you might hit the rear tire. If you're aiming at the rear tire, you ain't going to hit nothing. So you've got to lead a moving target, whatever it may be, a duck, a goose, a rabbit, a deer, zombies, or trucks. You got to lead it a certain amount to be able to make that shot. So, we're going to use what's considered the Militia 3, the three most popular militia calibers. And they are all three extremely popular with all shooters, whether you're militia or not. Doesn't make any difference. And that's 223 or 5.56 NATO. Yes, I understand that there is a minuscule difference between the two. We may discuss that some other time. For right now, it doesn't make any difference. 7.62 to 39, very popular, SKS, AK-47, a couple of others. Also, there's probably maybe half a dozen, four or five bolt-action rifles out there, one of which is the CZ-527, which I am the extremely proud father of one. And the other one would be the 308, or 7.62 by 51 NATO. Yes, I also understand there's a little difference in those. We're not going to get into that tonight. So how much would you lead if you got a truck going at 90 degrees to your barrel and it's 100 yards away? How much would you lead it by with your 223? Take a wild guess. Let's see some guesses on there. I know we've got a little bit of delay, so I can't wait for everybody to guess here, but let's see if we can see a couple. Anybody willing to chance a guess on what you need to lead that target? Let's say somebody's actually drawn a target for you on the bed of the truck. And you're 100 yards away, shooting a 223. Truck's going 40 miles an hour. How much do you lead that target? Now, understand again that you need to maintain that lead when you're swinging the gun. You don't get, whatever distance ahead of it and stop and pull the trigger. You have to continue that swing, continue that movement, or you're going to miss. So either we have a very long delay or no one's anxious to try. Okay. Kojo tried. All right. 7 to 10 yards. Well, that is a total guess. Good guess, but it is a total guess. No, it's actually 6 feet. Not quite as far as you would think. 223 is pretty fast. So it doesn't poke around and get there too long. Now remember, there's going to be a little difference. There'll be a difference in a 24-inch barrel and a 16-inch barrel or a 12-inch barrel. There'll be a difference in a 55-grain bullet and a 62-grain bullet. There'll be a difference in a worn-out bore and a brand-new bore. So keep all this in mind. This is an average, okay? With the 7.62 to 39, even at that short distance, you're looking at 30% more, and that's 8 feet. The whole 2 feet difference, even at that short distance. Is moving 40 miles an hour, WMD doc. Keep up here. And the 308, at this point, now you're going to see a little difference in that 308. At this point, it's 6.5 feet. The velocities we were using on this were similar to what published NATO velocities are, if that helps you any. So at 200 yards, you're going to, for all intents and purposes, you're going to double that. It's 12.5 feet for the 223, 16 feet for the AK, and 13.5 feet for the 308. At 400 yards, now the 308 has caught up because of the higher ballistic coefficient. It is caught up with that 223. Both of them are at 29 feet now. The AK, 37 feet. Remember, this is a truck moving 40 miles an hour at 1, 2, and 400 yards. So if we change that up now to 70 miles an hour, highway speeds, 100, 200, and 400 miles an hour, let's look at WMD doc. You are forbidden to answer on here. I know that you have classified information that you can't share. No, I'm kidding. It's not classified. But I know you have the information. And by the way, just for your information, WMD doc, we have changed some of those documents dramatically. So we'll get with you on that. Later on in the week. So let's look at 70 miles an hour. Hitting the sidewall could penetrate well, but what about hitting the tread dead on from front of mine? You know, Kojo, that depends on the weapon, depends on the distance. Most of your full metal jackets, in a rifle anyway, handgun, probably a little different. Larger diameter and the slower velocities. A spinning truck tire, you're very unlikely to penetrate that. With a rifle bullet going, 2,800, 3,000 feet a second, yeah, you'll penetrate it no problem. But a 9mm or 45, unlikely. especially in the tread. Sidewall, yeah, possibly, depending on the tire. So let's look at 70 miles an hour. At 100 yards, 223 is 10 feet. 13 and a half feet for the 7.6 tube of 39 and 11 feet for the 308. Now at this distance we're seeing, remember I told you for all intents and purposes at 100 yards you just double it? Well, now it's, since it's farther away, there is a little bit of difference. Now I don't know what the correct term is, whether it's exponentially or logarithmically or whatever it is, but it's a little bit more than double now at 200 yards. It's 22 feet instead of 10 for the 223. And it's 28 and a half feet for the 7.6 tube of 39, 24 feet for the 308. And again, a little more than double it from 200 to 400. You go from 22 to 50 feet for the 223, 64 feet for the 7.6 tube of 39, and 51 feet for the 308. Another thing about this, let's say worst possible case scenario, things have really, really gone bad here. All of this stuff we're going to talk about tonight will apply to what I'm about to tell you. Doc knows, and NM Block knows exactly what I'm talking about. Is Doc even with us tonight? I thought I saw him here earlier. Yeah, there he is. The reason you have sights on a, and I think we talked a little bit about this Monday, is that you've got these 1,000-yard, 1,000-meter sights on an SKS. You are not going to make a headshot on a man at 1,000 meters with an SKS. You're not likely to hit a truck at 1,000 meters with an SKS. But what you are likely to do is get 10 of your compadres out there, and or 20 or 50 or whatever, and all of you have your weapons sighted in properly. All of you have your sights on 1,000 meters. There's a truck out there 1,000 meters away, or, you know, a company of enemy troops coming or whatever it may be. This is the exact same principle that you saw in Braveheart with the barrage of arrows. Could one guy with a bow and arrow hit one guy out there at whatever range they were shooting at, you know, 300 or 400 yards away? 200, whatever it was. No, not, you know, one chance in a million. But with all these troops coming, you have some idea of where your arrow is going to land, and you've got 100 people shooting at the same time, somebody's going to get hit. So if you have your truck out there or your advancing enemy, and you've got 15 guys standing around that knows the where your weapon is sighted in for. We talked about bullet drop Monday. Yeah, there's a good chance that you're going to get meat, that you're going to do some damage. So that's what all this stuff is about. It's not to say that you're going to take your SKS out there and stop a truck 400 yards away with one shot. It's possible, but unlikely. So keep all that in mind. We're not trying to preach magic here or something that is impossible. It is very possible, but it may take a little bit of volley. There, Yakima Glock. That's exactly what it is. Volley fire. So let's look now at lead on aircraft. Now aircraft is even much more, many more variables. Even though you can look up the speeds of certain aircraft, you may know from your heart, you know, right off the top of your head, like mountain shooter, the speed of aircraft. That doesn't mean that it's going that speed when you shoot at it. Just because UH-1 can travel 125 miles an hour doesn't mean that it's running full throttle when you happen to see it. All of these, you know, and you also don't know what the plane or the helicopter's running. It depends on how much fuel's on board, how much cargo's on board, how high it is, what the altitude is. and how much throttle they're giving it, whether the landing gear is up or down. All of that affects the speed of these aircraft. Plus, go back to the variables with the different guns. You're going to have to take some of these figures and see what your gun will do. So, taking an average, somewhere between a UH-1 and the average, well, there's not even an average fighter jet. They may run anywhere from, you know, Warthogs run 450 miles an hour, and F-18s run, you know, 1,500 miles an hour, or whatever it is. I figured this at 600 miles an hour. Before we get into that, think about this. I figured it at 600, halfway in between the slowest and the fastest of what you will probably ever encounter. If you consider UH-1 runs around 125 miles an hour, you also need to consider there's not a whole lot of UH-1s out there running anymore, but there's still a few. Cobras, somewhere in the vicinity of 150 miles an hour. Apaches, 225 miles an hour. Same thing with Blackhawks. Most of your bigger cargo helicopters, your Chinooks and stuff like that, somewhere between 175 and 200 miles an hour. There's one out there that goes immensely faster than that, up to 300 and something. But for most of them that you'll see, that will be the speed. If you look at fixed-wing aircraft, you take something like there's oodles and gobs of different kinds out there. I understand that. I'm just giving you a few examples here. You single-engine Cessna, somewhere between 175 and 200 miles an hour. 200 is pushing it. A twin-engine Cessna. I shouldn't say Cessna. Twin-engine airplanes. Around 2 to 250. Commercial aircraft, large variation, altitude being one of the biggest ones. The other thing is most of your commercial aircraft is going to be 30,000 feet in the air. You're not going to hit it with an AK-47. But just in case you happen to have one flying across your front lawn at 50 feet off the ground, well, you might have a chance of hitting it. 500 to 600 miles an hour. Fighter jets, most of them, with the exception of the Warthog, run somewhere between 800 and 1,500 miles an hour. And like I said, the Warthog runs about 450. So you've got to have some idea, number one, the identification of your aircraft. You need to know what you're shooting at. If you shoot at a Blackhawk and shoot at a Huey thinking it's a Blackhawk or vice versa, you're not even going to get close unless it's sitting on the ground 100 yards away. So you can take these and kind of apply them to, different types of aircraft and kind of, do with it what you will. Since I figure this is 600 miles an hour, kind of halfway in between for most of these. So if you look at your Cobras, what do we say, 150 miles an hour? Well, you're going to divide this by 4. You can get down to, divide that 600. And if you divide your lead by 4, then you'll be pretty close when it comes to a Cobra. Divide it by 3 for your cargo helicopters and twin-engine aircraft and stuff like that. So a lot of guesswork in here. But using this information will at least give you some earthly idea of what it is that you're trying to do. Hang on a second. Sorry about that. Okay, we still have quite a bit of stuff to cover, so I'm going to skip the break tonight and just go on through this. Let me go back over here to the chat room, see if we even have anybody still listening. There's still some people in there. Kojo, also, I don't know if you've checked out where the podcasts are at, but if you go to TSB, Tango Sierra Bravo, .podbean.com, you can get all the podcasts. I get behind putting them up sometimes, but that's where they're all at anyway. All right, let's get back to what we were talking about here. Lead on aircraft at 600 miles an hour, using average velocities for a 223, 7.62 for 39, and a 308. Start with a 223 at 100 yards. You're going to have to be 88 feet in front of that aircraft. At 200 yards, just a hair more than double, you're going to need 187 feet. 430 feet at 400 yards. So guessing how fast that's going and guessing what's 400 feet ahead of it and being able to hold that lead, a lot of guesswork there. Maybe this information here is to show you not how to do it so much as how futile it is to even attempt it in many cases. 7.62 to 39, 100 yards. Remember your target's going 600 miles an hour. 100 yards, you need to be 116 feet ahead of that plane. 200 yards, 245 feet, 400 yards, 550 feet. For all intents and purposes, the 308's not that close to the 223. It's actually 10 feet more at 100 yards at 98 feet. It's 16 feet more at 200 yards at 203 feet. And 439 feet at 400 yards. You'll see that it is catching up. So, you know, at 500 or 600 yards, it'll probably pass it, and it will. These numbers will change. But, trying to shoot aircraft 500 yards away is not going to be a happening thing. You just waste an ammo. So, there are different leads on moving vehicles between aircraft and land vehicles. Kojo, you're going to have to text me your, get on Messenger or something to get me your phone number. And I'll try to give you home. I may still have it if it's still the same. Let me look here. I may accidentally still have that here. Let's see. I don't think so. I've changed phones a couple of times since I saw you last. So, anyway. Let's see. Okay, let's look at wind drift now, how much the wind affects. I got real interested in this. I've always known that it was, that it had some effect, but I didn't really study it too much until we did had a dismal effects on elk one time at a farther distance than I should have been shooting at them. Wind is blowing too much in right outside of Thermopolis, Wyoming, quite a few years ago. So I got to trying to figure this a little bit. So depending on how your bullet's built and the weight of your bullet and everything will be some variables, but the variables with wind are not nearly as vast as they are with aircraft and some of these other things that we've talked about. So your distances will increase and decrease at the same rate as the wind velocity. That means you're 10 miles per hour at wind, and let's say your bullet's blown off 6 inches at a certain distance at a 10 mile an hour wind. Well, in a 20 mile an hour wind, it will be exactly double. There is no extensive tricky formula for this. It's just double, and it's half that for a 5 mile an hour wind. Again, like we talked about, the full value for the trucks, if the wind is blowing 90 miles or at 90 degrees to your, you know, straight across in front of you, that's full value. If it's 45 degrees either towards you or away from you from either side, it is half that. 22 and a half degrees, half of 45 degrees is half of that, a quarter of full value. Easy to figure. All you need to do is have some idea of what the wind speed is, which there's lots of different wind meters and lots of ways that you can use flags and graphs and stuff and get a decent idea of how fast the wind's blowing. So if you know your distance, you'll have a pretty good idea how to deal with this wind. So I've got too many of these to, because I did each 100 yards out to 1,000 yards, so I'm not going to have time to read all of them. But I'll tell you, at 100 yards, all three of them are not far enough off to be at 10-mile-an-hour wind. They're not far enough off to be of any concern. It's an inch for the 223, 1.2 inches for the 7.62 with 39, and 0.7 inches, 7-tenths of an inch for the 308. Now, because of the way these bullets are built, the variation in these and the weight of these, the variation in these is not nearly what it was in the lead on a moving vehicle. At, let's say, 300 yards with a 10-mile-an-hour wind, 10.5 inches for the 223, 11.7 inches for the 7.62 with 39, and 7 inches for the 308. So the 308 with that higher ballistic coefficient and speed is less than all of them, significantly less than all of them, actually. So at 500 yards, the 223 and the 7.62 with 39 are both right at 3 feet. 33.6 inches and 36.4 inches. However, the 308 at that point is only 21 inches. Huge difference. So take that for what it's worth there. Last thing, we've got plenty of time to cover it here. It doesn't take long to do this one. This is time of flight. Time of flight, how long does it take the bullet to get there? Why does that make a difference? As soon as I take a sip of my hot chocolate here, I'll let you know. Okay, a lot of different reasons. You may have trees in the way on a road. You may be wanting to, let's say in a worst case scenario, end of the world as we know it, zombies everywhere, and you want to take out a bridge before a vehicle has a chance to turn around and change their mind. Or maybe you want to let the lead vehicle get across and stop the rest of them, or whatever the case may be. Maybe you have a sentry zombie walking a post somewhere where there are trees or pillars holding up a building or walls or something like that, where he disappears from your sight briefly as he's making his route there. Any of those things, you need to kind of figure out how long it takes the bullet to get there. If you're only 100 yards away, it doesn't make any difference because we're talking about 1/10,000th of a second. For any of these, excuse me. Let's see, 1,001/10,000th of a second for the 223, 1,110/10th of a second, or 100,000ths, no, 10,000ths, I'm sorry, 10,000ths of a second for the 308. And 1,317. So all this doesn't really matter. The exact numbers doesn't matter. What matters is at 100 yards, it's, for all intents and purposes, is instant. 1,010,000ths of a second, which is 1,000th of a second, not very long. So the guy doesn't have time to change his mind, and the vehicle doesn't have time to turn around. What's in M. Glock saying here? Also, 200-yard target halfway is 100 yards because the bullet is going significantly slower in that second 100 yards. The wind will have more effect. Yeah, but it's not much in M. Glock. That's why there's a little bit of difference there in the times of that flying, but it's not a whole lot. It does get to be more when you get out past 500. So a little farther down, let's go halfway down the chart we're looking at almost identical for the 223 and the 308 time of flight. 6,590, 6,590 ten-thousandths of a second for the 223, 6,512 ten-thousandths of a second for the 308. So close that it is, you know, doesn't make any difference. The 7.62 by 39, however, lagging behind a little bit, 8,259 ten-thousandths of a second. So if we go on all the way down to the end of the chart, we're looking at just a hair under 2 seconds. The 223 lost a little bit of ground compared to the 308 there. It's at 1.98, you know, basically 2 seconds, 1.985 seconds. The 308, 1.642, 643 for rounded off. So 308 caught up a little bit. 7.62 to 39, not that far behind, but still a little over 2 seconds, 2.18 seconds at 1,000 yards. So, excuse me, goodness, that snuck up on me. So the 7.62 to 39 kind of redeems itself at the longer distances compared to what it did at out to about 600. It's after 600, it kind of started catching up a little bit, but not enough to make it a top contender, but it comes in third place no matter how you slice it. So there is, let's see, we talked about wind, time of flight, lead. Okay, that pretty well covers it with everything we talked about Monday. That was probably more information than any of you wanted to hear, but I thought it sounded like a good thing, Duke. If one of you gets a little good out of it, then it was worth it. All right, there is, we're still waiting on some information to come in here. Oh, by the way, I should have my satellite internet going tomorrow in the morning, so I know we were supposed to have it a week ago or whatever, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, but we have promises from our guy, from our installer guy that said he will be here first thing in the morning, and we should be in the 21st century by before noon tomorrow. What I was going to say, we're waiting on some credentials and stuff to come in for to make our guy in Colorado official. But there will be Southwest Shooting Authority of Colorado coming up here to do some basic classes coming in, hopefully within the next 30 days. I know what I think I said that 30 days ago, but we're having a little trouble getting everything we need for it, so. Anyway, excuse me. When that comes up, for those of you that are anywhere in the southern to mid-Colorado area, there will be a very competent and very ambitious young instructor up there to do some of those classes, and I will go up there to do the more advanced classes up there. I've got a pretty good following up there in Colorado Springs area. We've had actually maybe going up there and doing a rifle class here before too long. So anyway, if you're not in Colorado, then that probably doesn't make any difference to you. Yeah, Minnie, I don't see that how Pelosi has that power either, although I don't also see how she can put it on hold. If I was President Trump, Pelosi saying they're not going to allow them to do the State of the Union message. If I was President Trump, I'd say, excuse me. So I just won't do it in the Oval Office. I won't do it, you know, wherever. Yeah, I'll do it out on the front lawn. I'll do it out on the, you know, in the White House. I'll do it at the basketball court at the local high school there. Here we go here. Trump, I have breaking news right now. Trump refuses Pelosi's delay request as a State of Union to proceed as planned. God bless my president. President Donald Trump will hold his State of the Union address next week as planned, despite a request to delay it. That wasn't a request. It was a demand. And damn her. Amid the partial government shutdown from how she's all pissed off because she didn't get to take her plane trip with all of her cronies. On Wednesday, that would be today, Trump sent a letter to Pelosi in which he denied security concerns raised by Pelosi and vowed to hold his speech in the House chamber on January 29th as previously scheduled. Thank you, President Trump, for being my president. You can't turn it over? Okay. All right, here we go. Here is the letter to the dishonorable Nancy Pelosi. Thank you for your letter of January 3rd, 2019, sent to me long after the shutdown began, inviting me to... Yeah, we're having technical difficulties. Okay. Here we go. Where was that? As you know, I had already accepted your kind invitation. However, I then received another letter from you dated January 16th, 2019, wherein you expressed concerns regarding security during the State of the Union address due to the shutdown. Even prior to asking, I was contacted by the Department of Homeland Security and the United States Secret Service to explain that there would be absolutely no problem regarding security with respect to the event. They have since confirmed this publicly. Accordingly, there are no security concerns regarding the State of the Union address. Therefore, I will be honoring your invitation and fulfilling my constitutional duty to deliver important information to the people in Congress of the United States of America regarding the State of the Union. I look forward to seeing you on the... You liar. I look forward to seeing you on the evening of January 29th in the chamber of the House of Representatives. It would be so very sad for our country if the State of the Union were not delivered on time, on schedule, and very importantly, on location. Sincerely, my president. There you go. Thank you for that. So there you have it, January 29th. That's what's going to happen. And who wants to take bets as to that old biddy won't even show up? She'll boycott her the State of the Union address, and that's just going to show how infantile and ignorant these people are. She can violate the Constitution. The State of the Union address is a constitutional issue. It states it right in there that this will be, that this will happen from time to time. It's about time to read some stories that I haven't done for a long time. I'm not going to do them tonight, of course. We're just about out of time. But I may throw in some stories that, Bob Wright and Mike Vanderbo and a couple of other people have done over the years. And it's been a long time since I've done those. Might be looking at doing those here in the not too distant future in view of current state of affairs. So anyway, we are out of time. We'll be back for those of you that are listening for the first time. We'll be back Friday night with Liberty Lounge. Liberty Lounge is something we started back in, I don't remember when it was, 2013 or something like that. Just happened to try to do it one night and just did all music just to get away from all the doom and gloom that was going on. And it worked out pretty well. It was pretty popular. We've done it every Friday since then. And that's been, almost 6 years now. So that will be happening on Friday. Usually classic country. I think we did some, I don't remember what we did last time. I'll have to check and see. But once in a while we drift off into classic rock or something. Not too often, but occasionally. So I'll surprise you and we'll figure out what we're going to do this coming Friday. But Liberty Lounge will be a happening thing, so I'll see you guys then. And I appreciate you joining me. Kojo, it's good you made it in here, and Nan and all the rest of you. I'm glad you made it. Let me find this deal right here. And I'll see you guys Friday night. Appreciate you joining me. Bye-bye.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.